You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
The topic today, no more anger management. When you hear me say that, you might think, wait a minute, aren't we trying to defeat the drama? And doesn't anger create a lot of drama? Yes, I absolutely agree. Anger does create a lot of drama. But so often, when I first start working with teams, they begin by telling me that they don't need any help with conflict resolution. They say, we're not angry, we don't fight, everything's fine, we all get along. And almost without fail, those teams have lots of drama. The fact that they're not yelling at each other is not the litmus test that determines whether or not they are angry. More often than not, it means that they're avoiding conflict, stuffing their feelings, and as an alternative, building up a wall of resentments between themselves and their coworkers. That is not what you want. That is drama generating. I also see that most of the time, everyone in the organization is still pushing their own agenda and sharing their ideas. You know, those ideas that go against what maybe their boss feels or colleagues. But instead of sharing in a meeting or sharing directly, they're pushing their agenda by having a sidebar conversation after the meeting or politicking in a back hall or having complaint sessions over coffee after work or maybe a stiff drink. See, the anger management movement was certainly a step in the right direction. It moved us away from being overtly disrespectful to each other. But too many people have gotten the wrong message. The goal of respectful, assertive communication somehow got lost along the way. And in its wake, we have a generation of people who feel that everything is great if they don't express anger or frustration, who choose instead to suffer in silence, hold tension in their bodies, or eat away the pain. And every conversation that ends with unspoken thoughts, unresolved issues, or communication that didn't actually happen adds another brick in a wall that sits between people, and it robs the world of a team's best efforts. I mean, to do the best work in your business, you want the perspectives, the ideas, the experiences of everyone on your team. And if you've become the kind of team where one person speaks and everyone else says yes, you're missing out on that opportunity. And again, it's not just a missed opportunity to truly excel and gain the benefit of a multitude of perspectives. People are beginning to feel frustrated, disrespected, devalued, and unheard. And that's generating drama. That is not time well spent to go vent your frustrations to a colleague or a family member who can't help you fix the situation. It just breeds more drama. And often they have the best intentions, but when what ends up happening is they totally agree with your perspective. They don't push back at all. And sometimes your feelings, your perspective, your filters aren't the same as truth. And without having an actual conversation, clearing the air and hearing the other person's actual perspective, you're missing out on the opportunity to clear the air and truly have a meeting of the minds. Willful control should not be the gold standard. I say we move the bar beyond putting on a brave face, wearing a mask, and smiling through the hurt. Let's aim higher and shoot instead for anger elimination. Now you might say, oh my gosh, my life is filled with frustration. I could never eliminate all the anger. And I agree, we're all faced with challenges day to day and barriers and people disappoint us and they don't act the way we wish they would and all of those kinds of things. So it's not about tolerating all of those things, but it's taking a fresh perspective to see if you can become empowered instead. You know, anger and speaking to others isn't fixing the problem. And again, I'm not trying to minimize feelings at all or stuff them. This is the opposite of stuffing. It's addressing. But here's three techniques that many of my clients have found helpful in eliminating some of their anger. And it's all about just having a new perspective, taking a fresh look at some of the situations that might be kind of driving you crazy. So maybe the situation doesn't change, but your viewpoint on it does. And that's in your control. So the first one is reality check your assumptions. A quote my clients hear from me often is, get out of the world of assumption. When our feelings are based on what is imagined rather than on fact, we can really get the creative juices flowing, can't we? We decide, you know, what someone was thinking or feeling or why they took the action that they took. I've shared that when, you know, a relationship is in a bit of a downward spiral, our negative assumptions about that person tend to increase. Think about it. If there's someone in your life who you don't trust much, you're in the world of assumption constantly about them, and your thoughts are not positive. Think about a friend who you've had a really, really long relationship with, and you trust them, and you know you think they're the best, and you're sitting at lunch, and they're 20 minutes late. What are your thoughts about them as you sit and wait for that 20 minutes? You're thinking, oh my gosh, I hope something didn't happen. Wow, they must have gotten held up. I bet traffic is terrible. So all of your assumptions are about hoping that they're okay, knowing that they're not doing this to you. It's just something out of their control happened that's causing them to be late. Now think about that same scenario again with a person who you don't have the best thoughts about. Maybe you have a downward spiraling relationship. You don't really feel like they value you. Now that person leaves you waiting in a restaurant or at a meeting for 20 minutes. What are your thoughts about them as you wait? They don't care about me. They don't value me. They're being disrespectful. They don't care about my time. They're just trying to waste my time. I mean, you can come up with all kinds of scenarios. But the truth is, you don't know what the facts are. And so while you're sitting, you know, it might be that that person also got tied up with something out of their control or is stuck in traffic or maybe something happened. So during that 20 minutes, you can be building up anger that might in the end be for nothing. So often the stories we create will drum up a lot of anger and frustration. Try to focus and be aware of when you're in the realm of a created reality away from the world of fact. So pay attention. I have my clients think about, okay, what about the story I'm telling myself about this is fact? And where am I filling in the blanks? So I'm going to ask you to really pay attention to that. You'll be amazed at how often you realize, oh my gosh, I was making up a good portion of that. And it's creating frustration. So rather than assume, go have a clarifying conversation. Ask questions. Find out what happened. Think things often look really different once you have the real information and the other person's perspective. And that's the problem. When we're having negative assumptions about someone and we're getting more and more angry, we're less likely to go just have the conversation and clear the air. And you might hold on to that resentment and anger for a long time. Having that conversation clears it up. And often the fact is much better than the story that you've told yourself. I've worked, you know, very often I'll be working with multiple leaders inside of a business. And so I'll get to actually see the inner workings of assumption happening inside of a business. It's really interesting. So I'll know the facts of a situation, and then I'll hear the different perspectives from two different employees, and I'll hear what they're assuming about each other. Now, in those instances, I do not insert myself into that communication because I can't be the long-term fix. I'm not going to be there in the future to help them clear up their assumptions. But what I do is encourage them to speak to each other. I might say, you know what? I'm not sure if that's fact-based, or I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate, or I'm not sure if that's actually what their intentions were or what they were thinking. I think it would be really important for you guys to have a conversation about that. Sometimes they'll ask me to facilitate the communication. So if there's been a big breakdown in a relationship because over time they've built up all this resentment and anger towards each other, it's helpful to have a third person in there to help you have the conversation. And it's good to have someone who's knowledgeable about how to walk you through what might be a tough conversation. Over and over, we've been able to rather quickly get through the muck that they've created through their assumptions and land on the other side with some really clear, good perspectives. I've even worked, recently I worked with a team of several people where it took us, they had all these negative assumptions, they didn't have a lot of fact about how their, it was a reorganization of a company and they didn't have a lot of facts around how their work would, you know, combine or how to organize their workflow or who was doing what. And so they were overstepping bounds at times. And so again, there were a lot of negative assumptions and they were building up frustrations. It took us less than an hour and a half in a room for them to have, I can't tell you how many aha moments. Oh, I didn't realize you were doing that before you came to ask me for my additional report, you know, or, oh, I didn't know that that was involved. They had all this clarity and they left the room high-fiving and feeling great. So a 1.5 hour, less than 90 minute investment in getting out of the world of assumption fixed a several month buildup of resentment, frustration, and anger. So it was released. So for instance, that project that was put on hold that you'd been working on so hard, maybe it's not really an indication that your boss was trying to sideline your career. Maybe the budget cuts in the department were the true cause. So that's the get out of the world of assumption. All right, the second one is pay attention to intent. We don't always know why things happen or why someone does something. So instead of automatically assuming malintent, how about trying to think about, you know what, I bet they had good intentions and maybe the outcome that I don't like had nothing to do with me. So when you're unhappy with an outcome, I'll hazard to guess that in most cases, it's not the result of malicious intent. Your dissatisfaction is just an unfortunate byproduct of another's good intentions. So even though we like to think that the world revolves around us and people are thinking about us all the time, sometimes it's just that they weren't thinking about us at all. And they had no idea that the outcome was going to negatively impact you. So I've talked about sometimes when teams, when in the very first episode, I talked about that processes that are going awry will create drama. Because very often, if there aren't good relationships between employees or departments where their processes flow one to another, that when the process falls apart, they assign malicious intent or negative intent. So they say, they're doing that on purpose, or they're just trying to give me more work, or they're trying to avoid work. They're doing everything in their power to shift all the responsibility over here. So see, we assign negative intentions when really it might just be a process falling apart. So pay attention to people's intentions, and sometimes it can alleviate some of the anger and frustration that we're feeling towards a person or a situation. Maybe the negative impact it's having on us is just a byproduct. It happened. The third technique that I'm going to recommend that you use to try to eliminate some of your unnecessary anger is speak up as issues pop up. So if you're feeling uncomfortable about something, don't like a decision, have an opinion, speak up. If you don't give yourself a voice, the little things will build and build. And this, if this is you, you know that that's what happens. Soon you'll have a volcano of emotion and it'll come over just out of you spewing. That's why I call it the volcano. You have this big buildup and maybe that one tiny little thing puts you over the edge. And it might not even happen, you know, maybe the buildup happened at work, but the explosion happened at home or at your dog, or maybe you get road rage on the way home. It's got to come out somewhere. And when you're in that moment, when you're so frustrated and angry, it's so hard to speak well because you're trying to manage the buildup instead. And so it might be just a little issue that you're trying to talk through, but the buildup is like behind it, pushing everything out, all the frustration. So instead of letting that buildup happen and then the explosion that often we're not articulate during, so we still aren't heard, and there's rarely an actual conversation that happens when we're having an explosion. So instead of making that happen, speak up as the little things pop up. Over the years, I've tried to live by a rule that's really helped me tremendously. I tell myself that I'll not be angry with someone if I haven't shared my feelings with them. So if I haven't spoken up and given someone the opportunity to factor in my opinions or perspectives, I don't have the right to be angry. Now, this isn't about the other person. I'm not saying that's not fair to them. I'm saying it's not fair to me. I haven't even given them the opportunity to make an informed decision that includes my perspective, my thoughts, my needs, my wants, my opinions. If I've kept silent, or if I've only communicated about it over coffee to a friend or a family member or a colleague, the person I'm angry with doesn't even know. Often they're just going happy-go-lucky through their life with no idea. I take responsibility for my silence, and I encourage you to do the same. It will help motivate you. Again, this isn't about being fair to other people. It's about being fair to myself. And it helps me get into action or drop a hurt that isn't worth my time or energy. And keep in mind, when I say drop, I don't mean stuff. You never want to stuff a feeling. But I do mean maybe you can totally let it go. Because remember, the thing that made you frustrated, if you're not interested in speaking up about it, maybe it's not worthy of putting your energy towards being angry about it. So again, and these will be on the show notes. So if you're driving while you listen to this and you're thinking, shoot, I can't take note, this information will be on the show notes. So the first one is reality check your assumptions. So sometimes you're creating a story, living in the world of assumption rather than fact, that's making you ramp up your anger more than it needs to be. So look for where you're doing that. I can tell you about 100% of my clients are doing that in some areas of their life. It's just kind of what we do. And you have control of that. Pay attention to people's intent. Sometimes our ego, or, you know, we'll just say like, they're doing this to me on purpose, when it really isn't purposeful. They didn't have malicious intent. So think about how you feel if someone just accidentally created a negative experience for you versus they tried to do it on purpose. And then speak up as issues pop up, instead of waiting and waiting and stuffing and holding everything back and putting a smile on your face. So applying these three simple technique. I don't know if they're simple. Simple, maybe in reading them and execution, it might take some practice, but it will help you eliminate a lot of your anger. If you need additional assistance, please contact me. I'm here. This is what I do. And if you can eliminate your anger as a leader in your organization, you'll help defeat some of the drama that's living and breathing in your business. And if you get good at it, you'll become a role model and hopefully can share these techniques with your team so that everyone's eliminating their own anger to try to defeat the drama in your business. So thanks so much for listening today. It means the world to me that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to listen to this podcast. I'm going to complete the podcast like I do always with the three S's, my ask: subscribe, submit, and support. If you found value in today's podcast and want to continue to learn and know when the new podcast is out, please subscribe. You can go right to my website, defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast site, and subscribe right from there. The next one is submit. I will have segments in some of my podcasts where I answer your Defeat the Drama questions. So it's called Defeat Your Drama. And if you go to that same website, defeatthedrama.com podcast site, and then click on the send me your question, you can either record it or send me a message detailing a short version of your drama story and a question. I'll be answering those and providing customized solutions on future podcasts. So listen in to hear yours. And then submit a review. If you found value in here, please go to iTunes and submit your review. It will help others find this podcast and gain value from this information. And the third one is support. I am on a mission to defeat the drama one person at a time, one company at a time. This world would be a better place if we had less drama and chaos. And it takes active participation to defeat it, because it's everywhere. And so join me in supporting this mission to defeat drama.